Hey, excuse me. Could I have just a moment of your time? No offense, but I want to get to know the real you. Hi guys, welcome to the No Offense Podcast. Your boy Matt Arrington, also known as Mr. No Offense to Some. To those of you who are familiar with the podcast, if it's your first time being here, you will notice that we do have a Roku channel available behind us. So if you're seeing this on your small screen and you would like to watch this on a bigger screen, you can do that by downloading our No Offense Network Roku app to watch it there. But because you are here tonight, you guys know what time it is. We actually have Zena on the platform. We're going to get to know her, get to find out all about her talent. She is definitely a awesome house DJ and producer. So you guys will get to learn all about her today for the time that we have her. I'm not going to waste her time. We're going to actually bring her in right now so that you guys can go ahead and do that. Please remember you can participate by... Putting your comments and questions in the comment box on the website. You do have to register for the website to do it, but the comments will appear here. And if we have time, I will bring them on screen and possibly ask those questions to Zena to get those answered for you. So without further ado, let's get our guest out on the stage. Hey, how you doing today?
Hi, how are you doing? Sorry, the connection's kind of bad, so I hope you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you great. Gotcha.
Yeah, I can barely hear you. It's kind of breaking up, but
I'm sorry. Is this better? Is this better here, or is it coming through kind of?
It's coming through really staticky, and it's like whenever you're speaking, it's like cutting out.
Oh no! Are you on Wi-Fi?
I am. Yeah, but it's actually sounding a little bit better now. So I don't know. Let's hope it stays that way.
Let's hope it gets a little better. Can you hear? Is it getting any better now?
It's a little better. Yeah, I don't know, okay. But it's still kind of like it gets choppy. Like, I don't know.
Okay. Well. Hopefully we can get through the interview. And I'll try to go back and possibly do some audio editing at the end to try to clear everything out. Sounds good. Were you able to understand that?
Sorry, I cannot hear anything.
I'm sorry. Would you like to try to exit and come back in?
I'm gonna try to reconnect. Actually, I'm gonna try on my laptop.
Okay, no problem. We'll be here.
I'll be right back.
All right, no problem.
I'll be right back.
All right. Yes, ma'am. All right, guys. In the interim, it has actually come to my attention as well that those watching the Roku channel may be having a little bit of issue, so we're gonna get you guys straightened out right now as well. So, issue fixed. All right, hey guys, don't forget. Lonnie Mays drops a track tonight called Lanes. So if you, wherever you may listen to your music, whatever distributing song platform, whether it be Spotify, iTunes, Tidal, iHeartRadio, wherever you may listen to your music, make sure that you go and follow and definitely check it out. It's an awesome track, and I think you guys will definitely like it. On Friday, we do have Grand Rising coming out by DJ Belly Goat, which you guys know is me. If you like real chill Zen music, you'll definitely like that as well. getting this, the channel booted back up for you guys in the interim. Definitely appreciate everybody who did come out to support. In the meantime, while we're doing this, please go ahead and hit the share button, share the page, share the webpage with friends and such that may enjoy this interview. Also, back behind us, like I said, this is, you're looking at the No Offense Network Roku app, where you'll be able to find the interview with Xena, which is now streaming live, by the way. So that way you can check it. Appreciate all your hard work. Also, don't forget to check out nooffensellc.com/magazine, where you can check out the No Offense magazine that we release four times a year now. So it's coming out every season. You will see some of the artists and business owners that I'll be interviewing here over the next couple of weeks in that interview. In that magazine, along with some pictures. So that way you can put them in your collection and definitely reference them in the future and get to follow these guys. You get all their information. You get an article based on the interview. You get all their following information. So that way you guys can reference the article and get, you know, follow their careers. So definitely get out here and show these people how much you appreciate their talent, skills, and services that they're offering to the world. Which you can do by just passing along the information to those who may need it or could use it. So we are back. I see we got Ms. Xena down below. We are going to bring her in and see if we can kick off the interview. Let's see. Hey, does it sound better?
Yeah, it's better, yeah.
Awesome. You sound loads better as well.
So, okay,
yeah.
Good.
All right. So,
I'm on my laptop now, so hopefully this is better.
We definitely appreciate you gracing our platform today and giving us the opportunity to get to know you. I was actually listening to the album that you released earlier. It was called All the Drugs and Stuff.
Yeah, it's an EP that I put out in July.
It sounds pretty good. House, man.
It sounds like After Hours.
Yes, ma'am. We're gonna definitely try to make the most of your time. I know you're a busy lady, and we're gonna try to get as much information as we can about you while we have you, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
All right. I always try to start every story from the beginning. I feel like if you're going to before we can build that wonderful building, we've got to know that the foundation is solid. So I like to go back to where you were born and raised, if you don't. Mine, where were you born and raised and how was growing up?
I was born actually in a small country that after moving to US, I realized that not very many people know where it is. I'm from Estonia, which is one of the Baltic countries in Europe. So our language is Estonian, which many people ask. And it's the most similar to Finnish. And we were right on the Baltic Sea and the Gulf of Finland. So.
That's pretty awesome.
It's a very small country. It's like only 1.5 million population. So.
Oh wow! So it's, wow. That's actually pretty small. Yeah. Now you grew up there.
Yes, I was born there. I grew up there, through school, like middle school, high school, and I live in Las Vegas now, which is like double the population of the country.
I was just thinking that when you said 1.2 million and then I know you told me that you're in Vegas. I'm like, dude, that's like twice the size.
Yeah, the city of Las Vegas is like double the size of my country.
How was your experience or when did you leave? When did you leave that your country?
I graduated high school like a couple of years early because I skipped a couple grades. And then I went to London and I went to music school since I was 10 years old. So I've been traveling like throughout Europe, like for different festivals and contests and stuff as a singer. So I was 10 years old, basically making the living, like making money since I was 10 years old singing. And then moved to London at 16, I believe, and got a record deal as a singer-songwriter. And I would go to raves, but I would write soul and R&B.
So this was something that you always were attracted to as far as
the house and the rave music. And
yeah. I mean, I like the energy of the rave, but I like the heart in the soul RB. So now that I produce, I try to blend the two.
Man, you do an awesome job, by the way. And so when did you discover? I mean, 10, man, 10. That's a wow. When I think about when I was ten and what I was doing, and then think about you when you were 10, the way you were doing, I feel like I'm way behind the ball. When did you discover that you had this finicky for music and you could sing?
Well, my first memory is singing and my dad playing guitar when I was, I don't know, maybe 3 years old or something. So probably as long as I can remember myself. I don't know. Music has just always been a part of my life. It's just something that I don't really remember when it started or when, I don't know. It's just, I don't feel like it's like something that I do. It's like who I am, you know?
And I really do feel like that's where the best music comes from, because it's like what you were born to do. It's a part of who you are. Were your parents both, were they both musicians or?
My dad played guitar, and I mean, my mom has a musical ear, so she can keep a tune, but my dad was definitely more into music. I feel like he's always encouraged me more, like to, I don't know, sing, to write, and to kind of come out of my shell. I was a really shy kid, like, I mean, not with my friends. I mean, I was kind of a clown, but I doubted myself a lot when I was a kid, so.
Well, you sound like you were a very special child. I mean, you graduated early, obviously very talented, very smart. How going into, like you said, you're making music at 10 years, you're making music, 10 years old, making a living. And you said that you went to London at 16. I mean, were your family around you at this point still? I mean, because you're traveling, the life of a musician, I know it's constantly, you know, it's moving. Were you traveling with your dad or, you know, as a traveling?
Up until like when I was 16, I was in music school, so I traveled with the music directors there, and you know, like other you know, kids that went to school with me, and like we went to like different contests and festivals and participated like in different shows throughout Europe. But after I turned 16, and you know, when I graduated high school and I went to London, I was all on my own, and I mean, my parents were super happy. Because I had like full scholarship to go to any university I wanted to go, and you know, but I already knew what I wanted to do, so they weren't super thrilled with me just taking off. But my mom kind of used the reverse psychology. She's like, okay, go ahead, you come back in 2 months, like you'll see how hard it is. So I mean, it didn't work. So.
So when you took
I'm not saying I didn't go back, but I didn't, you know. But I didn't give up.
So when you left and you left at 16, that was it. You had your mind set. Like, now that I'm free, I'm gonna do it my way. I'm gonna pave the streets like, yeah. I wanna do it. So.
I actually made up my mind at 14 and I just couldn't wait to graduate.
You at 14 you were tired of it all. Just like, I just wanna do what I wanna do. When did you discover the other elements of your musicians? Because like, as you said, you're a DJ, you're a producer, which you know, all these require similar skill sets but different.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, each role, yeah, will require more learning. How did you get involved in the other aspects?
Well, I studied music grammar, like when I went to music school as a kid, like from the age of like 10 to 16, you know, I did theater, choreography, like music grammar, like stage performance, vocal, and all that stuff. So I had my education in music like throughout those years. And then I think when I moved to London, I started auditioning for different bands and different producers. And, you know, and I got in, I think it was my second audition. I gotta do this like live R&B band. So it was really kind of strange. So I mean, but it was also like a really different culture for me. Like even though like I studied English in school, but it was a kind of culture shock. Like because they told me I sounded like this big voice black girl, but I was like this little blonde chicken, and I had no idea what the hell was going on, and I couldn't understand their accent, and I was totally like way over my head. So, but I had to kind of pick up, you know, kind of like, I guess the culture, you know, you can say that, and more like I'd have to actually be in the culture versus like just watching MTV or
it's media. Definitely different.
You know, like, you know, I actually had to kind of figure out how it works, and you know, and obviously got screwed over, got lied to, got, you know, had you know, jealousy, girl band issues, and all of that. I mean, I had to go through quite a few years of that kind of school of life, I guess. There and then, but I started writing music like still in my teens, and I got a record deal eventually in London. So that's like, I kind of like, I mean, I was already familiar with like, I grew up like in music, in a recording studio. So that was kind of more time for me to kind of shine as a solo artist, you know, and like write more, and, you know, which can be kind of like, writing itself is fine and it's therapeutic, but showing somebody what you wrote and putting it out there is a whole other thing. And it's like, it can be quite scary, you know, like, because it's like, I feel like we're kind of weird as artists, because we like, we want to connect, we want to relate, we're like, oh, look what I can do, I want to show you the song I wrote, like, I want you to hear it. But at the same time, like, as an extrovert, but then we're also like super scared and super paranoid that somebody won't like it, and they'll hate us, and, like, you know, it's kind of like a weird,
like, love, so then, love, hate.
I started performing like with like live bands, and when I moved to the US to work with a couple of producers, I also got into a live band and performed different, you know, quite a few different places. You know, it could be like from a dive bar to a beautiful stage in a casino, you know, so it's kind of different type of environment. And then I was writing with one of my good friends at one point. He was a producer, so he would just send me like beats and whatever. So, and I would come in and write lyrics and melodies and just get on the mic. But then he was also a DJ, and like while I was writing a verse, he went to the other room one day and he was just like preparing for his set. And you know, when I was done, I was like, oh, what do you do? What does this button do? Being super annoying.
the cue button.
Doing all the things that I wish people wouldn't do to me. So he's like, you want to try? And you know, so he was on vinyl. So, you know, he kind of threw me straight at it. And he's like, okay, just, you know, it kind of came naturally to me. And then every time I would come over to work on music, I'm like, oh, can we DJ? And then after a few months, he told me that, you know, I should be playing. And I was like, no, I can't do this. Then he kind of tricked me and threw me in the basement. He said, is it okay? I'll be right back, okay? Like, if the track ends, just
keep it going.
Yeah. I already knew he was coming back. I already knew he was setting me up. Yeah. And that's how I started. And then, you know, starting to DJ and like kind of being like full on in this like club culture, and you know, even after I was seeing like house and techno, and you know, seeing a lot of like biggest names, you know, at the festivals and raves, and after a few years, like I've become interested in actually, you know, doing vocals on my own tracks, and like, you know, I started like learning Ableton and collaborating with a couple of my friends. So until I kept, you know, during the pandemic, I really felt like more comfortable and had more time to just kind of express myself more and just kind of do my own thing. That's kind of where I started, and then I just couldn't stop. I just kept making music. I think I did like 100 tracks in the last like 2 years.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you really fell in, you really found yourself as far as you know. I mean, you do have all these different musical talents. You can sing, you produce, you DJ, and it sounds like you've really like come into your own as far as putting those skills to use. I have to ask about your name, Zena. Did you pick that because of the Warrior Princess? Is that what that was? Or,
you know, partially yes. So I had a different DJ name. It was Vixen for a while, and then after I started releasing my own music, there started to be like a few other Vixens coming out, and I don't know what. Beatport suggested to my label that I was supposed to be a Vixen US, and I don't do that, so they can only be one. And I also I did like a film, like a Gothic Assassins kind of weird movie, where I had to train for it, like to fight with a Japanese katana, like several years ago. So there's a little clip of the scene from the movie that I post like sometimes on my Facebook, and my friends are like, "Oh, you look like a," when I'm like swinging the sword.
From Zena.
Yeah. My friends are like, "Oh, you like Zena Princess Warrior?" And I was like, "Yeah, I am kind of a warrior." And then the last three letters of Vixen is XCN. So I was like, you know, I can keep like a little bit of my old name. And so and then I just kind of changed the spelling. I didn't want anyone else to. I didn't want to be Zena US again. So.
I definitely understand. Branding is such a big part of marketing, that, you know what I'm saying? You do all that work for that brand name, and then you want to make sure
you change your name. It's like some people still call me Vixen after years now. I'm like, she's dead.
Oh, no, not dead. Thank God she's still alive. She's still my different name.
Retired. She's resting in peace. Yeah.
Oh, man. So Vixen, the term, the name.
Yeah,
I still have died.
That's on Beatport as Vixen, but, you know, it was just getting too confusing. There was like other people like coming out, and like their stuff would somehow by mistake get posted on my Beatport page, artist page, and like mine would get, I would release a new track and mine would go on their page, and it was confusing because their music was really bad. And it was like,
Not their music was really bad.
No, it wasn't bad. I don't care.
It just wasn't, it's no offense. It's no offense.
It was bad. It was bad.
She said it was bad. It definitely wasn't worth the name.
That I didn't want to be associated, so.
Wow. Wow. Hey, but hey, listen, you got a standard. You got a standard. You either rise to them or fall to them. So hats off to you.
I like to listen to bad music, so I try not to do that to people.
Don't you wish more people would stop making bad music? We're not going to go there. But
people would just stop making music they just do. I don't know. I don't think like they actually doing it for the right reasons, because I don't think they have anything to say. I think they're just doing it because
chasing an image.
Like in the industry right now, I feel like you know, in order to DJ, like it's kind of, you have to be a producer in order to kind of like be taken maybe seriously. I don't know. It's like a music scene, you know? And so people that are doing this because like they kind of have to, but they're not actually producing. They're paying other people to, you know, ghost produce their tracks, which I do not support.
Right.
Like, if you don't play guitar, don't be Slash. You know, don't play your guitar. It's okay. Just
I do think the producer plays a very, very important role, because they bring everything. They make everything cohesive. You know what I'm saying? They definitely. Well, I feel like the term producer is used.
Two very, very different like musical expressions. I feel like, you know, like, yes. You know, when I play music for people, it's kind of like me in the moment. It's like kind of, I create like a soundtrack of the night. I make a memory for that evening, you know. When I produce, it's like, it's more like, I don't know, it's more personal, you know. I feel like it's I like making music that's not necessarily for like peak hour of the club. It's just something that people would listen to like when they drive. It's just something that for them to connect to, like make them think, you know, instead of just have a good time.
Well, see, you just hit on something very, very important. A lot of people don't know that, but that's where royalties come from. royalties come from you're providing a vibe. You're giving an experience where your vibrations are actually in the room, and that's what you're getting paid for royalties for your presence in the room. But a lot of people think that you're just supposed to make music and get paid for it. They don't understand the theory behind why royalties exist.
Well, we make our money from our gigs, because I'm not gonna lie, there's not much. You're not gonna get rich by being number one on Beatport, But when you're number one on Beatport, you are definitely more in demand for shows, so you make money on your live gigs. So.
So you make more money on the status of actually being on the Billboard at the time, yeah. but you're not actually making more money because you're on Billboard. It's just where you are in your career at that time.
On Billboard, yes, because if you have successful tracks on Billboard, you can command a higher fee for your live shows. So yeah,
They're
connected, but we ultimately make more money with live shows than. Our royalties actually. So
got it. So what's the biggest crowd do you think you've played to this point? I mean those raves be huge, and you guys be giving the vibes for real.
I would say probably the biggest show I played, maybe it was like 4,000-5,000 people maybe. Are you there? You froze.
Oh, no. There we go. Yeah, I'm not sure what happened with the platform right there. Yeah, that's the first time I've ever actually seen it freeze up like that on both ends. Were you able to hear the question?
Yeah, I said I probably the largest crowd I probably played was like probably I would say about 4,000 people.
3,000?
No, 3,500-4,000.
4,000. That's still a lot of people, man. That's still as a DJ, a live DJ. Is there any anxiety of Is there any anxiety of hitting the wrong button or like just playing the wrong vibe at the time? Or
no, definitely no anxiety. No anxiety about hitting the wrong button. I mean, I think at that point, I'm at the point like I don't really think about buttons. I just it's the feeling. You know? But more like I would say it's not anxiety. It's more like an excitement maybe, and like making sure like kind of. Maybe a little bit of anxiety, like making sure, especially when you're in a new city and you've never played and you have a crowd that you don't know, like maybe a little bit of like anticipation, like can I connect with them right away? Can I grab them right away? So just like more of a nervousness about that, you know? And yeah, but not about, I'm not worried about the buttons ahead. It's like opening the door, like, you know how it works. You know? You're just worried about what's behind the door.
I understand. Now, because you are a house DJ, I know a lot of times you guys have the interaction with the lights and different things that are set up based on the table and things that you're doing. Do you like incorporating the lights and things like that due to the experience? Is that pretty much a given, or is that like by special requests and special gigs, or how often do you run into interactions like that?
You know, I like a cool production with the lights and whatever. I mean, I personally don't do it. I mean, I don't incorporate lights. I just walk in and I do the music, but I do like to be part of the show that is cool and has like, I don't know, like a wow factor, of course. Yeah. But sometimes like certain places, like it just gives you almost too much, like Vegas, big clubs. Sometimes it's just, it takes away from the music. It's just, everything's just.
Gotcha. That's
it's cool to go to like warehouse raves, where it's just like dark room with a bunch of ravers and just bare minimum lights and just music, you know. So
what's the longest set that you've played to this point?
My longest one is probably like 11 hours.
Wow, 11 hours, man.
Not like at Sicily, I had like, you know, other DJs step in and back to back, like, but yeah, basically was playing the entire 11 hours. Yeah.
Man, how do you feel now versus like, well, if you can explain to me the first time how you felt when you first went live and played a show, and how did you feel when you completed the show? You know, like it's your first show and you've played it and it's all, you know, you're coming off stage.
How do you feel?
When I come out, I'm excited. Usually, like, I'm kind of pumped, but I'm like in my head because I'm thinking like, okay, like, where is the crowd at? And it's like, where do they want to go? Like, how late is it at night? Like, you know, where am I going to take them? Like, because I mean, I don't usually plan my sets. Like, I just kind of like go with the vibe and see, like, we kind of go on a journey together. And so it's more of a kind of like, okay, I need to grab them, I need to connect with them. Where are we going to go? Like, let's see what happens, you know? And then when I'm done, it's usually just like a happy feeling, you know? Just like, it's like coming back from a reunion with good friends. Like, we just had such a good night and I'm just heading home like from a good, like, from a good catch up. I don't know, like, where you connected with people and you, I don't know, felt something altogether. Yeah.
Gotcha. So I guess I've got special respect for house DJs, because I mean, you guys are essentially feeding, you know, you guys are essentially feeding the trip, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, if you're going to go to a rave, you might, you know what I mean? So are there any go-to favorites that you may have, like, or certain things that you realize that affect the crowd more versus, like...
I have my special loved ones, absolutely. Yeah, sure. But I feel like it's like music is more about feeling, you know, especially house music, because it's like, it's not so much... vocal heavy, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So the lyrics don't drive the meaning of the song or track. More so it's more like the energy and the moment that you feel, like when you're moving and dancing, and what the melody makes you feel, and the transition, and how the groove comes in, and the percussion, like, you know, like how it makes, I don't know, how it makes you naturally, makes your feet move and your body move. So it's like, it's more about that. It's more just about the feeling. And just kind of like have to not think about it. It's not about like, oh, play the song that goes like this or has familiar. Yeah. It's like, I mean, our job is actually to play. I mean, I will try always to play the tracks that nobody can recognize. I mean, that's kind of our job too. House music DJs, we don't play music that they want to hear. It's like, we'll play what you need to hear. Like, you just have to trust the captain.
Yes.
It's about a feeling. But yeah, of course, we have, like, you know, the classics and our special weapons. Every DJ does. So.
Gotcha. I mean, it's such, like I said, it's such a skill. Because, like you said, it's not vocal heavy. So it's more so, like you said, it's about the sounds and knowing the sound.
There are vocals, of course, but not every track has vocals. And it's not a... like a full song that tells you like a love story of how it began and how it ended or something. It's more of a, you know, kind of like an addition to the groove.
I understand. So I see that you recently signed to Ferris Wheel.
Yeah, Ferris Wheel Recording. It's Gene Ferris. Gene Ferris's record label in Chicago. By the way, go.
What's that?
Well, Gene is the best, by the way. Go look up Gene Ferris.
For sure.
Everybody loves Gene.
Hey, listen, I would love to. I'm definitely interested in talking to, you know, getting to know different people and introduce them to the platform for sure. What may be some things that you have, you know, in store to take care of in the next couple of years? Now that you're, you know, I saw this like a
there is.
What was that?
Next couple of years, you know, a lot of store, I hope. I have big plans. I'm an ambitious girl.
I mean, already graduating from school is, you know, 16, ready at 14. You know, ambition, I think, is the least, that's probably the least word that we could use to describe it. You definitely have some moves that you're trying to make as you spend your time here, for sure.
I definitely just want to go play more clubs around the world that connect with different audiences, like in different cities, just play for different people, just like, I don't know, vibe out in the jungle in South America, go vibe out in Tokyo, I don't know.
Brazil, anything like that?
Brazil, yeah.
Have you been to Miami?
Quite a few times, and I usually go every year for Music Week in March. So
I just the vibe down there, I know it's perfect. You know what I'm saying? That's why I was like, I know you've got to have hit. What are some of your other favorite places? I know you got Miami, Las Vegas. Well, especially living in Vegas, which is party town. You know what I'm saying? All year long. What are some other frequent favorites that you might like to frequent?
I love going to San Francisco. San Francisco people like they just get it, you know. And New York, like Brooklyn, like, you know, they get that house music. They get the tech, and you know, you can kind of just not worry about like, should I go this way or that way. You can just whatever you feel like, just go with your feeling and just vibe with the music, and they'll know. And they'll know all the like rare old type favorites. Like they'll recognize. Like they have musical knowledge. Like they're like professional ravers over there. And of course, I love going to Spain. I love going to, back to Europe. You know, I love playing Barcelona. I love playing Madrid. They love to dance. Italy. You know, I'd love to go play more in Europe this year. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, and we definitely know the world is your oyster, and it sounds like you're definitely making your way around. Are there any favorite places that you like to eat while you're in these particular times, or because you are in in demand and you're going to these different places, are you just these places for like a very short limited time, and then after the certain assignments are up, you've got to go immediately to your next gig? Or are you like in an area for example, you said, you stay in Las Vegas. I'm sure there's places out there that, you know, you've got favorites and things like that. But when you're traveling, are there certain places that, hey, while we're here, we've got to stop at this place or you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Do you have those places like that?
I like to trust my friends. Like, I mean, I now have like at least one or two good trusted friends in like the cities that I've played at. So when I go back, I ask them to take care of it and, you know, take me somewhere that I know that it's going to be good. And, like, you know, I like to try new places. I love Italian food. I love Asian food. I mean, like, as long as the food is good, you know. And I'm down for, like, a little farmer's market or a fancy restaurant. Like, either way, it's good with me.
I understand. At this time, are you... Well, if you don't mind, are you dating anybody? Are you seeing anybody? Is that something that you want to talk? I know sometimes when people get on here, they don't like to talk about that, which I understand.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Okay. No problem. Okay. So what, as far as, do you have anything that's coming up that we should be aware of that maybe some people will be able to actually come out and see?
Yes. So I'm playing at the Lexi Hotel this Saturday. It's an all-night headliner show this Saturday the 3rd. And okay. I'm going to be on the radio again this Friday. I'm going to tell you guys. It is Club 87.7 FM.
Okay.
And it's the Bomb Squad party. It's from 10 o'clock till 2 a.m., I believe, on Friday. I'm not sure what my time slot is, but it's somewhere between that in that window. And then Saturday night, it's 10 p.m. at the Lexi. So I'm going to come prepared. So anyone wants to comment, slapped around a little.
Slapped around a little. Come
hang out with me.
Definitely come out. And then.
Yeah, I'll be ready. I'll be ready with some weapons.
Not with the weapons. Oh, no.
I'm a Princess Warrior after all.
Well, there she goes. So after you guys leave from down there with Zena, man, you make sure you got your bed already cleaned up, because you're gonna need to get rest up. It's gonna definitely be in well, Zena, if you can please give everyone your tags and where they can find you, so they can definitely follow up with you, and our subscribers can definitely follow with you. Like I said, I was listening to your EP earlier, man. Like I said, it's definitely vibes, but I know it's nothing compared to getting it live. If you can, come out in that season.
Well, I just posted in comments. That's my Instagram handle, and I'm also on YouTube. So there are a few like live streams actually that are recorded live on there. So you can kind of have a little dig, and I'll post some more soon. So I'm gonna record probably my set on Saturday. It should be like a 6-hour set. So should be fun. Maybe I'll do like, we'll see.
Six hours set. Well, I think I'm gonna put you on. That way I can make sure I get my vibes going. And definitely gonna turn it up at full volume. So I definitely appreciate you coming through.
And make sure you check out the 87.7 FM on Friday as well. I'll probably be on for like an hour. I don't know. I need to check my set time, but I will post it on social media. I'll post it on my Instagram. The exact same time, the next day or two.
Please do, and then we're gonna actually follow you as well. So if you find, when you do find out, if you can't send me a message, I'll definitely blast it out as well for sure.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the platform, Zena. It was an awesome opportunity to get to know you, and we definitely look to see what's coming from you here in the near future.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Take care and be blessed.
Thank you.
All right, guys, this is going to complete our interview with Zena. As you can tell, a warrior princess. She definitely knows her stuff when it comes to this audio. Guys, if you have the opportunity and you're near her, please, please come out. Get the awesome experience live. It's definitely going to be worth talking about and remembering. We're also going to get our interview up on the Roku channel behind me so that you guys can share it and see it. And we're going to get it up posted as far as some clips on social. So she did give us her tags down here in the left corner. I mean, in your right corner, depending on where you're watching this at. Make sure that you follow her on all platforms. And definitely thank you for coming through and supporting the platform today. Like we always say, don't wait on the world to change when you can be the one to change the world. I have been Mr. No Offense. You guys have been absolutely awesome. And we'll catch you next time on the No Offense Podcast. Be well.